this session we're going to be focusing on deliverance, the next session on healing, and then the third session on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're expecting God's power to touch our lives and God to fill us with his power and his presence. Okay, my opening scripture comes from Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And these are the words of the Apostle Peter. And he's crying out to the people, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And here we see right at the beginning of the church age a powerful promise of God. That if God's people, or if those who are hearing the preaching of God's word, will repent, our sins are wiped out, then God will send this special time of refreshing. And that's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting God to send a special time of refreshing to the church, to us as our own individual walk with God, and to the nation. And we know that the situation in New Zealand, that is, if we don't repent, we can expect judgments to come upon New Zealand. And if the church doesn't repent, even in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we even see Jesus warning his church of different disciplinary judgments that can come upon his own church. So that's why we want to start even today's seminar with an attitude of repentance. Even though I know that you are strong Christians here who are hungry for God, but let's just come before him to be washed clean once again by the blood of Jesus, just to start with that foundation of, "Lord, we've fallen short of your glory. We want to be serious for you. We want you to cleanse us." And in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus gives a list of sins that make us unclean. And he says that from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from within, come from inside, and make a man unclean. So we want to begin just by letting the blood of Jesus Christ wash our hearts clean again. Last week I was blessed to go to Bill Spritzky's seminar on healing, and he started with this same kind of thing, which he always does in his meetings. He has a sin list to start people repenting before God. And I've also sort of taken that's important. We want to be cleansed. So this is also a sin list. We want to repent of any sexual immorality, which includes adultery, fornication, prostitution, homosexuality, pornography. Sin includes drunkenness, drug abuse, wild parties, greed, stealing, swindling people out of their money, hatred, murder, unnecessary abortion, jealousy, outbursts of anger, causing fights, causing unnecessary divisions and quarrels, strife, racism, unforgiveness, deceit, filthy language, coarse joking, foolish talk, slander, gossip, lying, selfish ambition, arrogance, and folly. One sin that I need to repent of, it's at times of having wrong attitudes towards other people. So just even let Jesus challenge your heart right now. Any wrong attitudes that are in your life, that you just need to surrender those wrong attitudes to God. Sin includes entertaining evil thoughts, disobedience to parents, bitterness, envy, being faithless, heartless, ruthless, ungrateful, being cowardly about following Jesus, false religions and cultic heresies like Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the sovereign lordship of Christ, and Mormons who's found a practice of witchcraft and polygamy. Then we have the sin of witchcraft, which includes fortune-telling, horoscopes, sorcery, seances, hypnotism, wearing lucky charms, praying to angels or praying to saints, white and black magic, voodoo, and martial arts which seek strength by the aid of demonic spirits. Then sin includes denying the divinity of Christ, refusing to acknowledge Jesus before other people, unbelief, and denying God's power, atheism, which denies the existence of God, agnosticism, which doesn't know if God exists or not, and idolatry, which is the worship of man-made gods. So these are sins that stop people walking intimately with Jesus. But we just want to right now just humble ourselves. And maybe these specific sins, they're like the big sins that you're not having. That's why I'm just saying maybe it's just the little wrong attitudes in our lives that we just need Jesus Christ to wash us clean afresh. I just think of when Jesus came and he washed his disciples' feet. And Peter said, "No, you can't wash me." But Jesus said, "Well, if I don't wash you, you don't belong to me." Then Peter said, "Oh, then wash my whole body." But Jesus said, "No, you're already clean." So sometimes with us as Christians, it's like we don't need our whole body washed because we're already clean through the blood of Jesus. But it's like when we're in this world, we're being contaminated by the world because we see the evil of the world and we hear evil things spoken. And it's like we need Jesus to wash our feet, wash the dirt, wash the filth off our feet. So even though you're clean through the blood of Jesus, by faith, I just want you to receive a fresh cleansing of your feet in Jesus' name. So that's why I want us all to just say this prayer together. It's just a prayer for fresh cleansing of our feet in Jesus' name. Are you happy to say this prayer? Let's all say together, or you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, and forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Make me pure and clean. I confess any sins to you. Any wrong attitudes. Just purify my mind. Let me have the good thoughts. I receive forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus, which you shed for me upon the cross. Lord Jesus, wash my feet right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was when I was a small child is when I first gave my life to Jesus. It's because when I just felt conviction when I did something wrong. But when I prayed to Jesus, peace came into my heart. I was clean. So that's where we want to start today. Okay, I want to tell you a story and then mention a few things about deliverance. And then get Michael to also quickly share something about deliverance, and then finish this section with another prayer. And then maybe we'll have just a very quick short break before the next session. Okay, this story comes from my grandparents. And before they immigrated to New Zealand, they lived in the middle of England. And they went to a place for 3 years. And they found it very, very hard in the church that they were going to. They were from a Brethren church, which had good Bible teaching, but didn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and actually was very anti and speaking against anything to do with the Holy Spirit. So this church was also going through some like divisions and all kinds of problems. So my grandparents, they felt really bad when they went to church, and they felt even worse when they didn't go to church, so they didn't know what to do. Anyway, this is my grandmother's story about that from that time, and this is in her words. And she says, "One day I was feeling very down and distressed, so I took the car and went for a drive, having no idea where I was going. There was a lady who lived nearby that I had heard speak when I was just a young wife. This lady was a principal of a women's Bible college, and she had been a missionary in Ethiopia. There was something different about this woman. I wasn't the sort of person who went and knocked on a stranger's door, but as I passed this lady's road, I decided to drop in for a visit. The door opened and the woman looked at me very searchingly, saying, 'Come in.' She made a cup of tea and we talked. Then she looked at me and said, 'You're longing for God, aren't you?' I burst into tears because it was like getting a hammer and hitting the nail on the head. This was in the late 60s. And she lent me a charismatic book that was popular at that time. I took the book home and knew that God was speaking to me in a way that I had never heard before. This was very strange in Brethren circles," that's the Brethren Church, "and it caused me to feel very frightened. What would happen if God made me speak in tongues in the Brethren Church? I had no idea, but I wanted whatever God had for me. I prayed after reading the book, and nothing felt any different. But within a few days, I knew that everything was different. I woke up in the middle of the night singing a song of that time." I can believe Jason waking up in the middle of the night singing a song. He loves to sing to God. "And the song she was singing was, 'Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.' In many ways, I had been a fearful person. Waking up, singing that song changed my life because I realized that it's true. God had delivered me from all my fears. I found a new love, an ability to understand the Bible, and my walk with God became alive." I'll add that my grandmother did come into speaking in the gift of tongues at that time, even though she was fairly quiet about it in the Brethren Church. My daughter, Heather, had just come back from New Zealand. Heather is my mother. Having herself been touched by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Actually, my mother had been backslidden, and it was while she was in New Zealand with a group of other girls, and one of the girls kept saying to my mother, "You need the Holy Spirit." And eventually my mother repented and was baptized in the Holy Spirit here in New Zealand. Then she went back to tell the good news to her parents, and she found that her mother had also had this spiritual awakening. So my daughter Heather had just come back from New Zealand, having herself been touched by the Holy Spirit. I was the leader for several girls' camps, and I got Heather to do some drawings to help illustrate my talks. On the first day of the camp, we were visited by some people we didn't know and given a message. They said this was the message: God has told us that he's going to bless this camp. My grandmother, she found this a bit weird, coming from complete strangers, telling her that God was going to do that. But Saturday nights, I went to bed and was going to read my Bible, but I found that I couldn't. Neither could I pray. So I thought, what is the matter? Another lady called Rachel came in, and I never said a word to her. Rachel was about to get into bed when she said, "May, what's in this tent? There's something in this tent." Like a flash, things came into my mind that I was to say. I called out, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and deliver them." Then I quoted the story of the young man and Elisha, who opened his eyes to see the chariots of heaven. I realized that we had been under a real attack from the enemy. Evil spirits tried to hinder the work of God and stop people from praying and reading the Bible. But the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Immediately we fell asleep and woke to a bright sunny morning. Heather had drawn a picture of a girl sitting on a bucket, thinking things through. Before I had even started to speak, a girl came up and said, "That's me." And she came to the Lord before the meeting had started. I spoke about how the Thessalonians turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his son from heaven. As I was speaking on the Lord's second coming, another girl kept saying, "No, no, 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 Mrs. Burt," because she was so fearful of the coming of the Lord. When I had finished speaking, I went over to counsel her, and then Rachel came and touched me on the shoulder. "You can't be too long," because there was a queue of young girls lining up to speak with me about their need to surrender their hearts to the Lord. The first encouragement came from people we didn't know. Then there was the dreadful experience when the enemy tried to stop us. And now the girls were turning to God. It was the blessing of the Lord and a real work of the Holy Spirit. My grandmother, she's now in heaven, but she shared with me many stories like this of what God had done in her life and how God's power came. And the devil tried to stop it. And the devil does try to stop the word of God. I want to now just quickly mention a few things about the ministry of deliverance, rebuking the devil in Jesus' name, because it's true. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Jesus Christ is the conqueror of the devil. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, it says he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So this was a part of Christ's ministry, anointing his people with his authority to drive the devil out. Some quick look at how demonic powers affect people. Number one, it can be through people's own sin, disobedience towards God. And we know, of course, repentance is necessary for deliverance. Number two, the sins of people's ancestors. Unfortunately, you know, we inherit the family situation that we're born into. And we can inherit blessings from godly parents, and we can also, unfortunately, inherit bondages and lies, deceptions, false religions due to our ancestors. And they can have footholds for the devil that need to be broken. And the third thing that also applies with witchcraft and occult practices. That's why occultic things need to be destroyed and not have any of those kind of demonic things in our house. The Fourth reason is unforgiveness. That's why we always stress the importance of forgiving people. Because if we don't have forgiving hearts, again, that's an area of darkness in our lives that gives a foothold to evil spirits. But forgiveness breaks the chains of the devil. Number five is dishonoring our parents. Now, even if our parents have done wrong, we have to forgive them, honor them. Even if your parents are not saved, you have to pray for their salvation. And you have to pray godly blessings upon your parents. I remember one time when I was preaching, and then suddenly a girl started screaming just when I was coming to the end of my message. But she was screaming because she hated her mother. And God was just putting his finger on that. So we have to honor our parents, forgive them, love them. And as I said, if your parents are not walking with God, you pray for their salvation. If they are walking with God, they've probably still made mistakes. So you still have to forgive them and pray blessings upon them. Number six, marriage breakdowns, which has caused, opened the door for so many strongholds for the devil here in New Zealand. Number seven, the Bible talks about many different aspects of curses, which is basically, again, because of disobedience towards God. But it's like God has allowed this world to be in the devil's hands, so that people cry out to him and get saved. So there is a sense in which God has allowed curses to be upon our lives and to be upon this world, so that we will repent and turn to God and cry out to him and be saved and see the power of the blood of Jesus. And we see the effects of the curse everywhere around us, and the works of the devil everywhere around us. And the good news is that it's to turn us to God, to cry out to him for help. So sometimes it's like the devil goes too far. He attacks people too much and he exposes himself. And when the devil is exposed, it's an opportunity for God to move and God to come in his power. So everything that's bad in this world is turned around for good for those who love God. Fear. Number eight, fear. That's one big thing that keeps people in bondage. Okay, my grandmother, she acknowledged how God delivered her from fear. And she had been bound up in so many ways, having come through the Second World War, and she went through many difficulties. Her mother died when she was just a young girl, and from a young age she basically became the mother of the family. But she also, like a spirit of fear, had attached herself to this, which she needed to be delivered from. Number nine is idolatry. The Bible warns us that there are demon spirits behind idols. So we should never have any idols, not even idols of Mary, and we should not pray to idols of Jesus like the Catholic Church does. So I like pictures, but we can never pray to a picture. I like pictures of Jesus, but if you pray to a picture, it's like you're turning a picture into an idol. So we don't turn these into idols. We don't turn pictures into idols. Unfortunately, the Roman Catholic Church, because of compromise, they turn just about anything into an idol, if it's about Jesus or Mary or the saints. But no, that is actually opening up to a counterfeit spirit, an evil spirit. Number 10 is denying Jesus Christ. You know, there is an antichrist spirit that the Bible warns about. One of the biggest antichrist spirits is through the Muslim religion. So it's a big spiritual battle that's going on in the world. But, of course, the Bible gives us keys for victory. Okay, I'll hand over to Michael. He also shared something about deliverance from his perspective.
Okay, Matt actually messaged me last night and said, I'm feeling a bit sick, so can you take some of the message today on deliverance? So I just had a few notes that I thought I'd share with you, also a few stories. But today is really about wanting to encourage people to see that we can do what Jesus did, what the early disciples did. And God has not called us just to stay in church, sing songs, and do the Christian thing, but to step out and see God's power working through our lives. So what Jesus did, what the disciples did, we can do also. And it's about letting the kingdom of God come through our lives so that people can see and know Jesus is Lord. And I'll share a bit more about that later. But just regarding deliverance, I'm just going to share a few verses quickly and talk about why it's important and how we can operate in it ourselves. In Matthew chapter 4, it says that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. In Mark chapter 1, verse 39, I'm just going to quickly share a few verses. Mark chapter 1, it says, "And Jesus was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." And many times in the Gospels, it says Jesus was preaching or Jesus was teaching and he was casting out demons. And the very first miracle, the first wonder that Jesus performed in Mark and Luke was a man who was delivered from an unclean spirit. That was the very first thing Jesus did, as far as a miracle or a wonder is concerned. What he was wanting to demonstrate was that people knew at that time that sickness and death and pain and suffering and evil reigned in the world. And when Jesus began his ministry, the first thing he wanted people to know was, I have power over evil. I have power over the kingdom of Satan. And it doesn't matter where we go in the world, it doesn't matter who we talk to, people know there is evil in the world and there is good. Now, since the fall of man, we know death came into the world, sin came through death, or death came through sin, and because of that, the kingdom of Satan reigned in the world. The dominion and power and rule that Adam had, he lost, and Satan was given authority to rule this world. And Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world twice. Paul called Satan the god of this world. So the kingdom of Satan was ruling in this world from the fall of Adam until Jesus came and began his ministry. And the first thing Jesus wanted to demonstrate was, I have power over the kingdom of Satan. And as we read through Mark, it says that they were astonished at the authority that Jesus had over evil spirits. And they said, what a word is this? Because with authority, he commands the evil spirits and they leave. So people recognize that this man, this new prophet or teacher, he had authority over evil spirits. He commanded and they obeyed him. And so it was the beginning of God bringing his kingdom again, as Jesus said, his first words in his ministry. He said, repent and believe the gospel. He says, the kingdom of God has drawn near to you. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, or the Son of God was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It says, for this purpose, Jesus was revealed on earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. That was his mission. Yes, we know he came to die for our sins. He came to be a substitute for our sin, for our judgment. He came to take the punishment of our sin. But he came to break the power of Satan's kingdom so that God's kingdom again could begin to reign on earth, and that the new age that God had promised through his Messiah could begin to take place. Jesus bought that new age. He bought that new kingdom. And I've got down here, the issue of Jesus demonstrating this power was the issue of God's kingdom being re-established in human history. Again, the kingdom of Satan had reigned for centuries. Satan was free to do whatever he wanted. Death, sickness, pain, and suffering reigned through Satan's kingdom. Jesus was bringing the kingdom of God. He was wanting to demonstrate that kingdom was more powerful. He came to overthrow the kingdom of Satan in a tangible, practical way in which everyone could see and recognize. Because people saw the evil spirits leading people. They saw this man has power that we haven't seen before.
it was a tangible, practical way for people to realize this is something that is amazing. This is something that we haven't seen. Evil is being overcome, and this man is doing it. Evil is being removed. There is another power greater than evil, and that is what Jesus was wanting to begin to do. And his call to us, once he was crucified, once he was resurrected, he gave his power to us, as Matt was encouraging us. The power of the Holy Spirit has come and is available for us so we can continue to do the same ministry. It's to take back what Satan has stolen, and it's to reveal the glory of God through our obedience to Jesus in doing the same works that he did. Now, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, you can read this in your own time, but the Gospel of Mark demonstrates that Jesus has authority over all things. We see him demonstrating authority over creation. We see him demonstrating authority over sickness and disease. But especially through Mark, time after time after time, it says Jesus was casting out an evil spirit. It says an evil spirit came and opposed Jesus. He confronted it. He told it to go. I will just read a few examples. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" And again, Matthew shared from Mark, where it says, "The disciples also went out, and they performed those same deliverances under the same authority." Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." So Jesus gave authority and power to his disciples over all demons, not just some. Because Jesus was giving to them the same power and authority that he had to do the same works that he did. And that is what us being disciples is all about. Like those men who were chosen by Jesus, they watched the works of Jesus, and then Jesus said, "Okay, here's power and authority. Now you can go and do what I have done." And God is wanting each of us to be disciples in that way, because this is not just for pastors, this is not just for teachers, this is not just for evangelists. Every person who is a believer can operate in this ministry on a normal day, on a daily basis, in our lifestyles, as we meet people. And we'll talk about that briefly soon. So Jesus was demonstrating that he was the true king, that Satan was the usurping king, that Jesus' kingdom was more powerful than the kingdom of Satan. And again, Jesus' disciples went out to display that. I'm just going to read a few more verses, and then I'll give a few examples. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus gave his authority again to his disciples. This was his command: "The king, go out and preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Again, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said, "These signs will follow those who believe." That's all of us, we believe. "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." In my name, Jesus said, they will cast out demons. When I was in Fiji last year, this is just a practical example. I visited one home, and we were just sitting in the lounge talking with some of the neighbors who were Hindu people. And this lady said, "Can you pray for me?" She said, "I'm having some pains in my head. I feel like something is pushing me down, and I'm having trouble sleeping." And normally that's some sign that someone is having affliction from an evil spirit. So as we prayed for them, she said she felt a release. She felt light. And then a week later, we came back and she said, "I used to wake up every night screaming, and I was always feeling that there was two tongues on my head pushing me down. But every night I would wake up screaming." She said, "Now I feel light, I feel free, and now I sleep perfectly." That's just a very simple illustration of a way we can minister to people. And how do we do it? Wherever we go, if we're working, if it's our family, if it's our friends, if someone just says, "Well, look, I'm feeling, you know, I'm not feeling that great, or I'm having these problems, or I'm having trouble with depression," or like Matthew said,
there's fear in my life. If you see anyone or know anyone who is indicating that they are under some sort of pressure or oppression or fear or depression or evil thoughts that are controlling them or mindsets or attitudes that they can't break or addictions, you can just very simply say, you know, can I pray for you? And often when we think of deliverance, we think of, you know, many of the examples of Jesus where there was a big commotion and there was a lot of noise. It doesn't have to be like that. Very, very simply, we can just say, look, can I just pray for you? Just command, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every evil spirit in this life. Every evil spirit go from this life in Jesus' name. Very simple, just command it to go. This is the authority that we have. So it doesn't have to be big and flashy and noisy, but someone we know, wherever we are, just be open to God and just say, can I pray? As simple as that. And as we do that, it's a demonstration that who we serve is real, that Jesus is Lord, because we've done it in his name, and it's a tool by which people can be brought into God's kingdom and have a more deeper experience with God. Another experience, I prayed for one lady, and often sickness is works together with evil spirits, or evil spirits take authority of sickness. They use it to control people. And I prayed for one lady who was sick. And I didn't know she had evil spirits controlling her life, but I prayed for the sickness. And the evil spirit began to come out, and instantly she was healed. And it was the cause wasn't something that was physical. It was a spiritual problem. And often, many times, the physical problems that people have are the result of a spiritual demonic influence in their lives. And so, if we're open to God, led by the Spirit of God, we can. God will show us, this is not physical, this person has a deeper need. And the more we do it, we grow in it. But again, it's just using simple opportunities to pray for people, and God will work. And again, as Jesus gave his disciples authority, he's given us exactly the same authority. We don't have to be a pastor to cast out evil spirits. Many people think, I have to be a Christian for many years, I have to go to college, I have to have qualifications. No, Jesus said, whoever believes in my name, they will cast out demons. If we're believers, Jesus has given us the authority to do it. And the authority is in his name. It's in the name of Jesus. So, what I've got here is, again, the coming of the kingdom of God, it was practically evident by its works. It was a demonstration that the kingdom of God had truly come, and that Satan's power was broken, that Jesus was bringing in a new age, salvation and redemption for people. So not only is it something we can experience in our own lives, but God wants to use us. We're his hands and feet to minister to other people. And people, it's amazing that Jesus crossed the lake to minister to one man who was possessed of an evil spirit. And so God is wanting to use you, each one of you, me, Matthew, each one of us, to minister to people in this way. And we don't have to think, I need to be a Christian for years. The youngest believer can cast out evil spirits. If we have faith in who Jesus is, and it's his, in his name, we can do it. Matt, I'll just give it back to you.
Okay, I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, a deliverance prayer. We can also apply this even to our work situations, or especially when you're working in the secular world, because you never underestimate how the devil can seek to attack you through other people, through unbelievers. And I was just reminded of where I had worked for a number of years, and there was men putting up pornography, there was such an anti-God feeling in the place where I was working. I was just thinking again how the devil is working there through unbelievers. And your situation, you know, the devil might be coming as an angel of light, not coming so blatantly evil, but still we need that, let's call it, awareness of how the devil seeks to attack us and even put us in environments to close our mouths so that we don't speak the word of God. That's what the devil has done in schools. And you can look in America how the law came in not to pray in schools. And that's a real bondage. That's a curse of the devil, that the devil got a victory. And in different ways, the devil has tried to say, don't bring Jesus into your workplace. And so even though this is a deliverance prayer, which we can be applied individually, but it can also be applied to a work situation or any situation where you're living and dealing with unbelievers. So I want us to all stand now, and I will just lead you in this prayer. Let's all just say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer.
You are my deliverer.
I call upon your power right now.
I renounce all curses
that have been placed over my life through the words of those who have abused or damaged or spoken against me. I forgive them, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to release me from those wrong words. I renounce the sins of my ancestors. I honor my parents and forgive them for anything that they have done wrong. I renounce all curses through witchcraft. I plead the holy blood of Jesus over my life. Lord Jesus, set me free from any demonic power that has affected me or is seeking to attack me. I renounce the devil and all his works. Let the presence of God be with me in a greater way. In my workplace, or in my home life, or dealing with other people, let the presence of God be with me. Give me discernment when the devil seeks to attack me through evil people. I put on the armor of God. And I stand firm in Jesus' name. I command every demonic power to be broken in Jesus' name. Any oppression or depression to be broken in Jesus' name. Go from me now in Jesus' name. I declare that I am a child of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. I stand strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I confess Jesus is my Savior and Lord. I claim God's blessings on my life. That God has a good future for me. I speak health to my body. Every curse is broken. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.